Well, good morning. I got home Thursday night from a week of working in Louisiana. I was going to try to make you all jealous about the food I got to have. If you have to be on the road on a Friday in Lent, New Orleans is a really good choice. But then along comes St. Paul today. Their God is their stomach. Their end is destruction. So let's just talk about the gospel, shall we? Today, Luke gives us his portrait of this rich, meaningful scene we call the Transfiguration. We read Peter, James, and John getting their brief glimpse of Jesus in a very glorious moment. His face is changed, we read. He is robed in dazzling white, Luke writes. The very first thing I want you to notice and remember about this scene is that it is an experience in prayer. It is an experience of prayer. Jesus invites his disciples up the mountain and into prayer. Up the mountain, as a phrase, is itself a universal symbol of prayer, isn't it? When we come back from a retreat or a particularly wonderful time of prayer, we often talk about facing the world, our down the mountain experience. Jesus is in prayer. He invites Peter, James, and John into that prayer. Luke says they're asleep. Very often for the disciples, for Joseph in the infancy narrative, that sleep is a symbol for deep, deep prayer. And we are in a season where the whole church invites us to a special concentration of prayer so that we might be better prepared to really celebrate what's coming up with the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. The Catechism of the Catholic Church has a beautiful explanation of prayer, alluding to the story of the woman at the well, which we will hear next week. It says, "The wonder of prayer is revealed beside the well where we come seeking water. There, Christ comes to meet every human being. It is He who seeks us and asks us for a drink. Jesus thirsts. His asking arises from the depths of God's desire for us. Whether we realize it or not, the Catechism says, prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts for us that we may thirst for God." This new catechism, a lot more interesting than the old Baltimore, huh? A lot more interesting. And this is a crucial point to remember. Our prayer, our desire for God is a response to God's desire for unity with each one of us and in all creation. A second point worth your consideration in this Lucan transfiguration story is this. While all the transfiguration accounts tell us Jesus is seen talking with Moses and Elijah, only Luke suggests to us what they are talking about. Listen again. Moses and Elijah appeared in glory and spoke of Jesus' exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. The beautiful prayer experience, this mystical moment, is not a simple detachment from the pain to come in Jesus' passion and death. It is not ignoring, nor is it minimizing the trials of living in a broken world. It is making sense of them. His passion is his exodus. As the Israelites' exodus is their journey to freedom from their bondage in Egypt, so Jesus' exodus, his passion, is his journey and our invitation into freedom from death itself. Prayer does not make suffering go away. That's clear here. Prayer makes it possible for us to see suffering's proper, subservient place in our lives, and allows us, if we let it, to know how to keep suffering from taking over our lives. A third point about this story. Deep, deep prayer, glimpsing only briefly the truth of God's desire for us. This has an immediate effect on us. We want to stay in that moment. We really want to hold on to that feeling. Peter, James, and John are ready to camp out right there on the mountain. We'll pitch the tents. Let the vision stay with us, is what they're saying. But we are always called out of it, aren't we? I don't know about you, but that does not please me. However, we must be called out of it, at least in this life. Notice what happens in this scene. A cloud appears and then enfolds the disciples, and they hear the voice from the heavens that says, basically, listen to Jesus. Now, when my mom or dad said, Mark, listen, they weren't really saying, hey, we're about to make some sounds that we think you might find entertaining. That's not what they were saying. They were saying, do what I tell you to do. That's the message here, too. So no tents are pitched. The disciples eventually do follow Jesus down the mountain, out of the mystical vision, back into the broken world, each one to do what was theirs to do. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. This does not mean that they had no mission. It means rather that their mission was to begin when Jesus' mission was finished. They were to bear witness to Jesus. They were to become the living body of the risen Christ. And so are we. We are called to be a Christ in the world and to bear witness to the Christ. Prayer, deep and nourishing, is a great gift of the Spirit that allows us to stay true to that mission. So celebrate this season of prayer. Drop something from your schedule that drags you down and make room for some time to respond to Jesus' invitation to go up the mountain. Get a glimpse of the beauty into which we are called to participate. if you never take the time to allow the glimpse into your consciousness, you might never know. You might find yourself dry and despairing. But a glimpse, it seems, must be our starting point. And it is enough to move us forward. In this community, we have a lot of invitations up the mountain. Daily Mass, centering prayer, our Lenten Friday Stations of the Cross and soup suppers. They are all invitations, and they are all to you. Make room. Come up the mountain, if only for a while. Give yourself access to the glimpse.